100.5 FM.
It is 9:08. You're listening to 100.5 FM. It was great to have Thad Moody in a while ago. I just want to share this very quickly. This is from our friend Bob down in Kennebunk. He said, "I'm so old, I remember Thad working at the hardware store in Gorham and helping this first-time home buyer of a mid-1800s fixer-upper find his way around. I'd like to say Thad would remember me, but he treated every customer the same way." So, Thad, just another testament to who you are as a human. Matt Jacobson is here along with DD Richardson. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Nice to see you.
Nice to be seen.
I do want to talk to you about some energy stuff, including the barbershop in New York. But I want to ask you first, as a military guy who went to the United States Naval Academy and served in the Air Force, how astounded were you that we leaked Israel's plans for attack?
I think it's an incredible security breach. The problem is that, you know, when you do that sort of thing, you not only betray that particular mission, you betray methods that can make the enemy better prepared for when you do go. It's astonishing. I can't imagine that happening before between allies. It's just, I never would have imagined that the United States would do that.
I mean, what is Anthony Blinken, who just landed in Israel a few moments ago, what does he say to Israel now?
I don't know. I don't know. Well, clearly there's no trust. I mean, they will go through the motions, and I'm sure the ceremony will look the same. But the Israelis just won't tell us anymore. It'll just happen. And what you've done is eroded your ability to influence going forward, whether you want more or less or different. If they don't tell you what they're going to do until after it's over, that's a problem. That makes the world less safe. And so it's a blunder on every stretch from a U.S. policy perspective.
Well, I mean, I've been saying this for several years now. The foreign nations, particularly the ones that are led by despots like Russia, no longer care about the United States in their thinking. That was obvious. Joe Biden said, don't. Then he said, well, it depends on what kind of incursion. And Putin just said, to hell with it. We're invading. We're going to take Ukraine. And didn't even care. You know, that's dangerous for us. When foreign nations don't consider the United States and as a consequence of their actions, that's dangerous for the whole world.
No, it clearly is. I am perplexed by this development. I always thought that politics would end at the border, but that's certainly not the case in this instance. But again, it weakens our ability to influence further actions. And then we become, you know, reactors rather than influencers. And reacting when bombs are flying is a bad place to be.
So Joe Biden said to in response to the media, that Netanyahu, if he attacks Iran, just don't hit their nuclear facilities. Why would the president of the United States of America not want Israel, who is known as fierce can be, not to take out their nuclear facilities? I mean, that means we don't have to do with it and the world doesn't have to deal with it. Why would he not want that?
You know, I always give the benefit of the doubt in some of the public posturing. Maybe there's a conversation going on in the back, you know, that really means hit their nuclear facilities, and we're trying to give them some false hope. I mean, who knows?
Do you think that was what Joe Biden was doing?
I don't take anything at face value on those public pronouncements of potential military action. I do take it very seriously. If you leak a plan, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
But there's a lot. I mean, you ever listen to a general manager the weeks before the NFL draft? You just can't believe anything they say. Well, this is a similar instance in my experience.
Yeah, I was just curious of what you thought. You have a military background, having gone to one of the academies and, of course, served. So, which is something I didn't do. So,
well, I mean, I've been on the other end of those pronouncements, so I understand a lot of times what they say and where they point us are different.
Right. Donald Trump was in the Bronx. I think it was the Bronx. It was somewhere in New York. I think it was the Bronx, and he was at a barbershop. And one of the things the barbershop owner told him was that his energy bill under the time of Joe Biden had gone from $6,000 a year to $15,000. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, he's right. You know, what's happened is we've gotten a group, and it's really styrated around red and blue governors. Electricity prices are linear with those governors, and I have some numbers. These net zero mandates that the Democratic governors have pushed through in relation to Florida. So Florida is the cheapest electricity in the country. Why? Well, they've relied on fossil fuels. 75% of their electricity comes from natural gas, and they make no bones about it. That's what they're going to do. They haven't fallen down the trap of unlimited renewables, so they don't have that intermittency that drives costs into their. And what's happened is that Pennsylvania's electricity is 27% more than Florida. New York is 60% more than Florida. And in California, it's 137% more than Florida because they have made decisions about fuels. Now, people say, well, what about Maine? Well, Maine is way more expensive than Florida. I think we're in that 60% range more than Florida. And people say, well, yeah, but most of our electricity comes from natural gas. And that's true. But what New England has done, and this governor supported it, is artificially restricted the amount of natural gas we can have.
Right.
And so what happens is we import LNG at the times where we need it the most at 100 times more expensive than Pennsylvania natural gas. And so that's what we've done. And so our electricity prices are high for that. So these net zero intermittent weather dependent power generators are driving cost, and we haven't even begun. You know, in the country, something like 4% of our power is being supplied by these things. And so they're going to have to build a lot more. So costs are going to go way, way, way higher unless we change course.
You know, for the working class in this country, the goal for a lot of working class people was to make $100,000 a year. If you made $100,000 a year, you were economically independent. You had economic freedom. You could do things with your life and for your family that you wanted to do. The Federal Reserve put out a missive earlier this week. Households making at least $100,000 a year say there's a growing chance they will not be able to make the minimum payments on their debts. Overall, 14% say there's a chance they're going to miss making the minimum payment in the coming 3 months. For me, that should be a frightening thing for the American public.
Well, if you just focus it back to our utilities. In California, there was something, you know, this was last summer or this summer, but I haven't seen updated numbers. But there were something like 280,000 people that owed over $5 billion in California on their electricity bills.
Electricity bill, right.
And so what happens
that was
is
past due, right.
Yeah, so if utility companies don't get paid, well, then they can't build the infrastructure. They can't maintain the infrastructure. And you're seeing that around the country. And so, you know, two things are happening. One, they're not getting paid. And two, they're getting mandated to build, big power lines and transmissions and new transformers to these intermittent, unreliable power, solar and wind generators. And so you have added cost, you have diminished resource. And so the only thing that can happen is that the price of electricity go up. And that's what's happening. Across the country. Not to mention the land use issues.
So Donald Trump, and I'm going to make this a little political only because it's a policy statement he has made. People keep asking Harris, we're 2 weeks from the election today, what are you going to do about bringing cost down? And her response is, I grew up in a middle class family and I had a good lawn. She says it every single time she's asked that. Donald Trump has said that he is going to flood the world with energy. We're going to drill, baby, drill. We're going to flood the world with energy and bring down the cost. What are your thoughts on
that? It's exactly the right plan. It has benefits across the board. The first benefit is it's going to drive the cost down for Americans. The second benefit, it's going to have drive the cost down for electricity, for power, for energy, for the rest of the world. And who does that hurt? Almost as importantly, is all the bad guys in the world, Iran, Russia, Venezuela, all the bad guys in the world are fueled by cheap energy.
Right.
Or by expensive energy. So Iran, the more we raise the price of oil, the more money Iran makes, the more money that Russia makes, the more money that Venezuela makes. If you can lower the price, rather than try to restrict where they can put it, let's just bury the price. And what happens is now Russia can't afford, because they can't sell enough of their oil, they can't pump enough oil to make up for the difference in price. And so what happens is they can't fund these crazy wars. The Iranians can't fund Hezbollah and Hamas. Those kinds of things are very, very simple economics if you understand the commodity markets. And up till now, we just haven't.
Linda from Harpswell says, the electric bill for a company my brother works for, their power bill is usually $12,000 a month. It is now $30,000 a month.
No, and that's in Maine, what's happened is the PUC has decided that based on how much electricity you use, we're gonna surcharge you so that we can hook up a solar farm or a wind farm or some other intermittent weather-dependent system that requires another grid. Essentially, we're building another grid to hook up these generators, and so they're paying that on the backs of the energy users. And so, you know, it's just crazy because it eats itself. But again, that doesn't even talk about what we're going to do for land use. You know, this report we talked about last time I was in the ISA New England, and I've read it a little more carefully now. Released a report around, they modeled actually what it would take to make these 2030, 2050 goals, these net zero goals that Governor Mills and other governors in New England have committed to. Well, just the offshore wind alone is going to require 5,400 square miles of ocean. Now, trying to put that in perspective, 5,400 miles is 1,000 miles less than the whole, or more than the whole state of Connecticut. Yeah. So you have to put windmills on the whole state of Connecticut plus another 1,000 square miles. That's the scale at which we have to build to meet these commitments. No one is talking about that in mainstream media. Nobody's talking about it in this election. But that's an enormous issue. Do we really want the state of Connecticut-sized windmill farm off the coast of Maine? Is that what we want?
No, the answer to that is unequivocally, the people of Maine do not want this. But Janet Mills, another rigid ideologist who's lost her freaking mind, and she has, doesn't care. Because she's the governor, by God, and she's not going to stand before the people again for another election. That's just the bottom line.
Well, this is a quote from ISA New England. You can make all the promises you want, but it says, the path to low-carbon grid will involve significant cost, unresolved reliability concerns, and large-scale infrastructure challenges. Guys, what we are proposing is nuts. Meanwhile, and it's expensive. Meanwhile, natural gas is the cheapest. That's just not me saying that. That's just the governor's.
All you have to do is read the energy rags out there all around the world. It's so bizarre what we're doing. I just don't understand what we're doing here, and the lives of our people are being made worse by the rigid ideology of these, as Kamala Harris's mama said, these coconuts that have fallen out of the damn tree.
Well, the Department of Energy, this is Joe Biden's administration, last week came out and said that electricity cost for electricity is three and a half times more expensive than if you made that same energy using natural gas.
Yeah, it's just...
This is what we're doing ourselves.
But the part that drives me the craziest of all of this is Mills, Biden, every elected person in this country is a temporary steward of the seat they hold. They don't have the right, for example, to go and wreck the coastline of Maine because Janet Mills happened to randomly be elected governor for 8 years in the state of Maine. What right does she have to destroy what God has created? Well, and we cherish this coastline. We cherish this state. These people are nut jobs.
Well,
Janet Mills, you're a damn nut.
Well, they have fundamentally lost their ability to assess risk. Let's do a top.
Well, it's not even that, Matt. No, they don't even care. Well, risk is immaterial. It is what I want. I'm the elected person, and you better shut up and suck it up.
That's one view, and you're probably right.
That is my view,
and that's probably right.
And it's a pretty informed one.
You're exactly right. But one of the other views can be, and that climate change is this huge risk. It is, in fact, the existential risk.
Think about the arrogance of that, though, that they think they could go in. Janet Mills couldn't change the climate if the entire Mills DNA was dependent on it.
But let's make a top 10 list of risk to the United States, the risk to you and me, and where would climate fall on that list? To me, the proposed solutions to climate are a way bigger risk than what the climate is.
Well, at the end of the day, what we ought to be doing is what my parents did and probably your parents did, is to teach you to respect the planet that God gave you. And like Dee Dee and I, we're very small carbon footprint. We're modest people. We don't litter. We even now recycle, which is something I never even a million years thought I would do, but I even do that. We separate the cardboard from the trash and all that crazy crap. We try to be good citizens of the state. We're talking about something altogether different here. We're talking about impoverishing people over rigid ideological.
This is exactly what we're doing.
There
is no country in human history that had expensive and scarce energy that had an economic abundance. Doesn't happen.
So
energy
is the key. We're enslaving the people, not only of Maine, but this country.
The world.
Look at what they're doing to California. Look at what's happened there. People act like, you know, somebody came out the other day and said, well, it's the fourth largest economy in the world. Okay, fine. 300,000 people left there, and you lost a congressional district and an electoral vote because of you're driving people out. When you impoverish people, they don't have mobility. Poor people can't move around. They don't have the ability to do it.
Well,
the risk is too great for them.
Well, we talked about this. You know, we've been talking about this a long time. When you raise taxes, when you raise energy price, the wealthy people will find a way to, in Maine, 6 months in a day people, right?
They right,
leave.
Sure,
what are you left with? You're left with the people that need more help. And you're bereft of the people that can help. And that's the issue. There's not enough people pushing the cart. Too many people riding in it. And that's where we are.
Yeah,
Forget
the cart part. Forget that. Forget the people that are riding, the people that are pushing it. It's just the average family here that gets up and two parents go to work every day trying to make ends meet. Those are the people that I'm really concerned about.
It is the most regressive tax, these electricity prices, these energy goals that they've done. It's the most regressive tax. Because it forces poor people to pay a higher percentage of their income on energy, and they don't have any choices. You know, for a wealthy person, okay, so it's an extra $100 a month, no big deal. But for folks who don't have $100 a month, they got to take it from someplace else. Yeah. And so what happens is you see restaurants going out of business. You see it's just a self-fulfilling prophecy. But this affects the poor the most by far. And why the party that's supposed to advocate for those that are disadvantaged is so hell bent on driving them to destitution, I just don't understand. And meanwhile, we have this natural gas infrastructure. We have the most abundant natural gas in the world. We do it. We drill for it in the most responsible way with the least amount of leakage. It's the cheapest form of fuel. Why would we deprive our citizens of that opportunity while we try to find something that's better?
Rigid ideology. The OPA, Office of Public Advocate, sought to ban natural gas in Maine. People said, oh, no, Ray, that's not what he did. Yes, he did. When you stymie the ability to expand your product, you will go out of business. It's just the way it is. Such a ridiculous argument that somebody walking upright would even make. But again, you look at the statistics. That's what I study, statistics. I understand statistics. We are growing poverty in Maine under the leadership of this governor and her rigid ideology and her sycophants in the legislature. It's got to stop.
Well, and that's what
because it's not necessary.
It
would be
absolutely
one thing if Maine did not have the opportunity to prosper. We do. but we have policies coming from elected people that are destroying our economic infrastructure.
There's no question. This economic pain that we are causing, and I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it with my customers. I'm seeing it with potential customers here in Maine as we talk about natural gas as a solution. It's not the only solution, but it's a central part until we can find something that works. And I'm sorry, we haven't yet. No. And to make natural gas more expensive and to hurt people while you do it, in the pursuit of, explain to me again what this pursuit is, they can't. They can't even tell you why they're doing it.
Well, and at the end of the day, they could bankrupt this country, driving energy costs up where no one can afford it, and China and India are still going to pollute the hell out of the world. It's as though they cannot see beyond the nose on their face. And, it's so bizarre to me.
And when they have their experts at ISO New England, who are not political firebrands, these are engineers that are charged with keeping the lights on, and they're telling you that decarbonizing by 2050, well, it's possible. You can't do it without avoiding blackouts. They modeled like 12,000 different opportunities, different mixes of fuel sources and energy sources, and they can't do it without blackouts. Is that what you really want? Do you want the state of Connecticut?
Well, probably so, Matt, because if you have blackouts and it's really cold, some people will die. And you heard Kamala Harris talk about it. She said we decrease the population and our children will be able to breathe easier. Those are her words, not mine.
Yeah.
You know, she let it out. She let the truth out.
And to me, that's just, it belies the most anti-human public policy we've ever seen in this country.
Yeah, it's absolutely, it's insanity. I'm sick of it. You know, I mean, I'm too stubborn to leave here. We had an opportunity 2 years ago to move to Memphis to a big opportunity. I couldn't leave Maine. I sat on the bed when I thought about moving and all the people I would have to tell goodbye to, including the station, which I truly love. And, you know, it brought tears to my eyes. I don't want to leave Maine. But my good God, why should elected people drive people from the state? That's all they've done. I mean, we've had a problem with the out-migration of our youth since Joshua Chamberlain was governor of the damn state. He wrote about it. He gave an eloquent speech about it. And all we've done is have a succession of people who have done nothing but try to make it harder to be a Mainer. Why? Why are we allowing this? Why don't we stop them? They're nut jobs. They couldn't make it in the private sector. You look at most of these people, they couldn't make it in the private sector, which is why they're in government. Why? They're not better at it. I mean, she's been in government for 40 years. She's not good at it. Joe Biden's been in government 50 years. He's not good at it. It's the only place in the damn world you can spend a lifetime and be worse at it than when you started. They don't have a right to drive people from this state because they can't live here. They don't.
But that's exactly what they're doing. The energy affordability issue for me, that's the key to everything. If we don't have cheap and abundant and reliable energy, you can't have anything else. And so all of these goals and promises and thoughts and happy feelings about we're going to save the climate, well, you're not. You know, demand for electricity is growing faster than the addition of solar and wind.
Of course, it has to because our population is growing. I mean, we have 340 million people in the country now. Well, the demand for energy has to be greater.
And worldwide, it's growing even faster as people strive for what we have. They want to bring their families out of poverty. And
why wouldn't you want that? Why wouldn't you? What is it inside of these people that would not want people to lift themselves up from abject poverty?
Why wouldn't we help them? We have all the resource. America can make money doing it. Yeah. I mean, we could do the right thing and make money.
There's an answer for this, and I know everybody hates it when I say it, but I believe this in my heart. I believe people like Janet Mills wants to control the lives of others. It is in their DNA. It is in the DNA of the party she represents and their ideology. Well, they have controlled the lives of people since their inception. I just don't know why any American would tolerate that from another American.
Well, and I think as we think about voting and folks are thinking about who they might vote for, especially at your state rep level, you got to ask them about energy choice. You got to ask them, will you allow me to make the best decision for my house and my pocketbook on what I want to use to heat and cool my home and power my vehicle?
No, I will not.
The answer is no, then you got to vote for somebody else.
Right.
Because energy, look, I'm not saying that natural gas, and we've said this many, many times, if we find a better thing Well, that's great. Let's research it. Let's try. My company is trying a thing up at Clinton, and we've got 6,000 cows worth of manure, and we're turning that into natural gas, and we're seeing how that works. Right now, we're powering about 50% of our home demand from cow gas. And that's awesome. And so that's how we're going to solve this if there's a problem, is we're going to find different solutions and companies are going to figure it out. But it's not going to be this
massive. Think about what you guys are doing. You're doing it with cow poop. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to get rid of cows.
They're trying to get rid of cows.
There is a movement in this country to get rid of cows because of their methane emissions.
There's an article yesterday, I challenge you to go find it, in the Bangor Daily News, where they talked about renewable natural gas. And half the story is a bunch of people saying, wow, renewable natural gas is bad. We got to eliminate cows. It's like they don't want – so what do they want? What they want is no people and no energy.
Well,
and I'm sorry. I'm against that vision. I just
evil. It's evil.
It's evil. It's anti-human.
Because
I'm against
who gets
vision.
To determine who lives and who dies?
Well, exactly.
And who gets to determine who should be able to live?
And what quality of life? When you take away energy choice, when you take away energy options, you drive the cost up and quality of life goes down. And that's just the way it is. And the people that it's affecting most are the poor people. And this governor, this public advocate are on the record. They've introduced bills in the state legislature to ban natural gas. And that's just the beginning, guys. That's just the beginning.
Well, of course it is.
And you
and
see,
at the end of the day, it's no different whether it's energy choice or whether it's in the public square, what they call misinformation. We have to stamp out misinformation. Who determines what misinformation
is? It's so insidious, right?
It's very insidious.
Cumberland County
evil.
Council of Governments is going to every one of the towns in their sphere, Cumberland County, and putting together a climate action plan because they got money from the IRA to do it. And what they're doing is they're having all these towns go on record saying, oh, we pledge against fossil fuels. Well, what does that actually mean for a town in Cumberland County? How are you going to power your town? Can you show me one in the world that doesn't work with fossil fuels, especially in a cold climate?
What
in the world are you talking about?
I wish the Portland City Hall would shut off their fossil fuel heat and see what happens. The marble will crack.
It doesn't work.
These people are
nuts.
And
that's the problem. I'm not a climate denier. I'm a solutions denier.
Yeah.
Solar, wind, it doesn't work. Yeah. And oh, by the way, it's not green. EVs, they're fun. I've owned one. I drive one. Yeah. They're great fun. This is not the solution to transportation issues in northern New England. It's just not.
And at the end of the day, the bottom line is simply this. These solutions are not solutions at all. That's the problem here.
Exactly
this is rigid ideology run amok. At the end of the day, it's not going to work. And again, you've said it here many times. I've even adopted it and credited you with it. There are no solutions. There's only trade-offs.
Yeah, that's exactly
and
right.
And that's a fact. If you were to put 5,400 square miles of windmills in the damn water, what will it do to the ground fishing industry of Maine? What? It will destroy it.
It's the wholesale industrialization of the New England coast. That's what it is.
But more importantly,
and we have to be honest about what they're proposing. And they're not. They're not even talking about it. It's always sunshine and butterflies. Until you have ISO New England, who is the authority, modeled this stuff. And we're
and
talking
no
about.
No one is talking about
and
it.
And we are talking about.
This is the only station that does. The newspapers don't. The TVs don't. None of them talk about what ISO New England is doing, which is the regulator of energy for New England, with the exception of Washington and Aroostook County.
The land use issues are astonishing. We're talking about taking away, 30% of the farmland in the United States to put solar panels on it. That's what's going to be required to meet these goals.
Bizarre.
Would you rather eat?
Think about this for a moment. I thought about this a lot yesterday because I just got so upset about it. Maine is 205 years old this year. 205 years old. God Almighty created that coastline. And because Janet Mills is the temporary governor, she's there for 8 years, that's it. She single-handedly, if she gets her way, and we're going to fight her, we've sued her ass before, we'll do it again. And if I run for governor and I win, I will use every lingual beans to stop this. She's the temporary governor of the state. Every elected person, no matter what they believe, is temporary.
Right.
What right does she have as the temporary steward of the governor of Maine to destroy the Maine coastline?
None.
That coastline will be there thousands of years after she's gone, and it was there thousands of years before she ever thought about.
And the key to it is it's not even a trade-off, because even if you did what she's proclaiming, it wouldn't change the climate a bit.
No.
The efficacy.
That's the worst part of this whole thing. These people are such nut jobs. They're not dumb. They're nuts.
Well,
no matter
or
what
they're corrupt.
She,
Or they're corrupt and they're paying their friends.
Well, that's all part of it.
And I think there's some of that in it.
There's no question that that's part of it. Look at the solar subsidies that people are paying right now. Where is that money going? They're going to their gal pals.
It's reverse Robin Hood.
I know it. We all know it.
Absolutely reverse Robin Hood.
At the end of the day, Maine is 85% undeveloped. There's no way in hell we're not carbon neutral here. We're probably carbon deficit here because we have all the trees. Every undeveloped portion of Maine is full of what? Plant life and trees. This is crazy crap. And no matter what she does, no matter how many times she goes to the UN and talks about this crazy crap, unless we control what China and India does, it won't matter. And what did the Paris Climate Accord do? It allowed China to build 250 coal-fired plants for electricity. And everyone says, all the stuff that I read says coal is the worst way to generate electricity.
This is from an energy density perspective, it's one of the best. And that's why poor countries use it.
No, but I'm talking about from their carbon climate stuff.
Yeah.
Everyone says if you're going to choose a way to do it, coal's the worst way from a climate perspective. So what did the Paris Climate Accord do? It penalized the United States of America, did not penalize any other country, and went to China, the second largest economy in the world, designated it an emerging economy so that they could get around it because they wanted China
right.
as part of it.
It's also instructive to learn.
It's a fraud.
It's a treaty that we never approved in the Senate, so we're not bound by it. And these are just administrative policies. But here's the issue that people don't understand. You know how much of the carbon put in the atmosphere every year the United States is responsible for now, this year? 13%.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're not the scourge of the world.
For the last 7 years, we have dramatically reduced
our
carbon footprint.
And the reason we've done that is because we've replaced coal with natural gas.
Right.
Why wouldn't we do that trick for the rest of the world? We could. We have enough. But we won't do it. We have export bans on natural gas. So what does that do? It drives India and China and Pakistan and Indonesia and Vietnam and Africa, where it's starting, all to coal. That's what we've done. And we've made it worse. So the last 5 years, we have set successive world records for coal use. The EIA says that's going to happen until at least 2035, where we are going to continue to use more coal every year as a world. So it really doesn't matter what we're doing. In fact, everything we're doing now is driving coal use. How, Matt? How is that happening? Well, first of all, we're not exporting the amount of natural gas from the United States that we could. Two, our demand for windmills and solar panels take an enormous amount of energy. You have to boil sand, essentially, to make a solar panel. Well, where is that happening? Something like 90% of all solar panels are made in China using coal because you need so much power, and slave labor because they have free labor.
That's exactly right.
Your solar panel is made by coal and slave labor. We are driving coal use to make these solar panels. We are driving coal use as a solar panel energy that takes to make a windmill blade. Oh, they're all made in China. Oops. And so we are driving coal use with these policies. We are driving carbon emissions with these strategies. Meanwhile, you have a resource that you know works that we could export in the morning and reduce the carbon in the short term right now using cheap American natural gas that is harvested in the most responsible manner, or you can let other countries use coal. What's your plan? Well, we know what their plan is, and it doesn't make any sense from a policy perspective.
Yeah, you know, for me, you know who Kathy Lee Gifford is, right?
Sure.
So she had a clothing
line. Dandy Don Meredith's
wife. No. Frank Gifford's wife.
Frank Gifford, that's right.
But he was Dandy Don's best
Dandy Don was, yeah.
In fact, when they were thinking about having a baby, Dandy Don said, "Hey, look, if you need some help, I'm available."
Turn out the lights.
Turn out the lights. And they lost their minds when she had this clothing line because there were sweatshops involved with it. They lost their minds.
Right.
Yet these people, these
with an iPhone in their pocket,
these climate crazy nut jobs, don't care that slave labor is being used to manufacture the solar panels that they worship so much.
It's slave labor in China. And child labor gets the cobalt out of the Congo.
And the poorest people in this state are subsidizing the wealthiest people in the state to put it on their homes.
That's exactly right.
And they don't care. They're all fake, phony frauds. That's why I talk about them all the time. We've got to change things. We have an opportunity here with a new election to change things. I won't say the person's name because I don't want to expose him, but I know that he works in government. I know this for a fact. He says, "I agree with you, Ray. State government is a mess. Thoughts on turning the mess around? Our political choices at the state level don't have the talent to do it." I agree, because they're all tied up in rigid ideology.
Can I tell you a funny story? So a few years ago, I was at a Maine State Chamber event where they had the cabinet officials and the heads of all the committees present to a group of business leaders. And I was sitting in this group, and this was an all-day event, night before dinner, and then all-day event. And about halfway through the day of these presentations, one of and you would know him, I won't say the name on the air, leaned over to me and said, "Look over there." He says, "There's not one person on this side of the room that would hire anyone on that side of the room to do anything."
That's exactly right.
And the talent gap between those two group of people was stunning. It was absolutely stunning. And I think, I mean, that's the problem. So you have a government that aspires to do like Tesla with the talent of I don't even know what. You know, I don't want to disparage any business, but it's the talent level is not up to the aspirations. That's a problem with candidacy. That's a problem with how we run it. That's a problem that, you know, we drive away good people. But the point is that we're not good enough right now. And we have a chance to do something about that in November. I hope we do.
Yeah, I hope we do too, because it's really frustrating. You know, Didi and I live a nice life. Not wealthy, but we live a nice life. But I hear from people every single day, and it wears on me. It does. I'm not going to lie and say it doesn't. It wears on me. And they don't know what to do. If we have the hard winter the almanac is predicting, they don't know how they're going to heat and eat. They are worried to death about it. And it's all because of rigid ideological governmental policies. Wow. There is not a crisis in this country right now that is man-made other than what's happening in North Carolina, Georgia, and Florida over Milton and Helene. Those are not man-made crises. Those are natural occurrences. Every other crisis in this country, from our supply chain to our energy policies, they are all governmental policies that are harming our people.
I can tell you right now as an energy professional that we have deferred maintenance on our grid. And we have had mild winters. If we get a cold winter and we can't bring in the amount of gas that we need to run our heat and at the same time run our industry, something's going to have to give. And when that happens, God help us, because we're going to have blackouts. I promise you we're going to have blackouts.
And in a climate like this, you're going to have people dying. Then what are they going to do?
I am telling you as an energy professional, not as a fear monger, that what we have set up here is blackouts. Well,
ISO New England said two winters ago, they were looking at rolling brownouts with a tough winter, and if it was a really hard winter, there would be blackouts. Now, this is, for the people out there that worship government, this is the governmental regulatory agency for energy in New England.
It's even more stark than that. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which are appointed quasi-political that manage the reliability of energy in this country, that it's like three Democrats, and I get the exact thing, but it's not just all Republicans. These guys went up to the House and Senate 2 months ago and said, "We are going to have blackouts in this country. What you're doing from a public policy point is perilous to our electric grid." And did we listen? Did we change policy? Did we even have a hearing?
No, of course not.
And these are not, you know, right-wing Republican, you know, oil and gas executives.
Right.
These are people charged with the reliability of our energy system. I'm fine for aspiring. I'm great for that. Let's try some pilot projects. Let's see what we can do. But to wholesale throw out what we know works for what we know doesn't work is lunacy, and that's what we're doing. And when you eliminate natural gas as a notion that's going to be part of the solution, you're just whistling dizzy, because we're going to come back to it. We're going to have a catastrophe and we will come back to it. It's just crazy that we're going to have to go through so much pain and that so many Americans are going to feel so much pain as we try to implement these really wrong-headed policies.
Well, here's the problem. You know, inflation's down to, what, 2.4% now? I said 2.2 earlier this morning, but it's 2.4% last month. People are telling me, "What are you talking about, Ray? Prices have dropped." No, the growth, the rate of growth.
When
of
you
prices,
tell me prices are going back down, that's right. When we can chat.
The rate of growth has slowed, but the prices are still growing. But they don't even understand that, and they're the ones buying groceries at the grocery store. It's just so bizarre. Yes, gas has come down, but it's still a dollar plus higher than it was when the new crowd came into office.
Why do you think, what's the downward pressure? Supply and demand. Demand has gone down. Why has demand gone down? Because people can't afford it.
Right.
And when they're buying only necessities, then we're going
to
see.
When you listen to people who are in the tourism business in the state of Maine, some will tell you they did okay. But I walked the streets of Old Orchard one night. We happened to be down there because Johnny Shucks was doing a promotion for Real Diamond. So we went down and got a lobster roll. And I walked the streets of Old Orchard. And they told me they had not seen a summer like this since the pandemic. Because why? People don't have the disposable income. Things are so costly. This is what's happened. The pressure of demand has dropped because the economy has slowed.
And we're going to feel it in May.
That's not an answer.
No.
Slowing the economy is not the answer. We need great economic growth, and we need it fueled by natural resources like fossil fuels. The solar panel crap is so ridiculous. And I know I have friends out there in the solar business. I get it. But at the end of the day, in a state like Maine, it just does not work.
Especially
it's not
in Maine. It's about 14% efficient. I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing?
So then the question becomes, why would our elected people who are supposed to represent the interest of the people in their district, why would they impose such an inefficient effort on our people that have driven up their cost and their ability? What they've done is they've adopted a rigid ideological idea, which is solar panels, and then they have driven up the cost of energy, electricity bills, which has now made your economic freedom less. Why do we want to hamper economic freedom in Maine?
And you almost have to think it's not the byproduct. Like, it's the goal.
Because
I don't know what I would do.
Well, dependency is the goal.
I don't know what I would do to make people more dependent on government and less ability to run their own life than to make the electric grid unreliable and more expensive. I don't know what else. Those, to me, are the most destabilizing things we can have. And I don't think people realize the storm that is brewing. I think they're starting to see it in their bills. I'm hopeful that that'll make them vote, because these policies are dangerous and they're going to hurt people. And they already have financially. But when we start having blackouts, and we have to, because we aren't doing the infrastructure improvements.
I don't know what the number was this year because I did not check. But I know that in 2023, when winter rules were over in the state of Maine, Central Maine Power sent out 60,000 disconnection notices.
Yeah.
60,000.
Yeah.
That's 60,000 households. There's more people. Most households in Maine are about 3 people. That represents almost 200,000 people. What do they care? They just don't care, because they keep going up there and passing policies that are detrimental.
And Ray, and you brought up something that to me is really, really important. If you get a disconnection notice on your utility, what does that do to you? I mean, that, you want to talk about stress and you know, to me, you know, you wonder why there's a drug use problem. You wonder why people try to escape. You drive this kind of economic hardship on people, and we are. And it's all man-made. It's all government-made. Meanwhile, you've got hard-working utilities, people that are out there delivering fuel. You know, you walk around my company, and this is a group of people whose ethos is to keep people's homes heated and to keep that gas going and to do it safely and do it as cheaply as we possibly can. And we spend our life on that. And these people were a punchline. And I for one, am tired of it. I am just completely tired of the public advocate and the Hannah Pingree's and the Governor Mills that want to stand up and talk about that we're evil. Well, I'm sorry, ma'am. We're not. We're the ones that are keeping the lights on. We're the ones that are keeping the heat going. And you're making it harder. And you're making it harder on our customers. They're making it harder on your constituents. And it's not okay. And we need to stand up and say so.
They don't care. You know why they don't care? Because when the direct deposit is supposed to be in the bank on Friday for a government worker, it's there. No matter what, it's there.
Well, we have to make them care in November. That's all I could say.
What the hell? It's been ringing all morning. I mean, they've been ringing like crazy. 950, you're on the LynnLibby.com listener line. Good morning.
Good morning. Personality politics is poison. Avoid it at all costs. Policy, policy, policy must be your only focus. We have a two-party system here, the party of choice and the party of mandates. Sorry, party of choice is the only party that's serving the people because they're focusing on the Constitution. The other party is focusing on trampling the Constitution in the ground. And I'm sorry, folks, you cannot vote for Democrats. Because they're no longer Democrats, they're progressives. Throw the bums out. starting with Jared Golden, Shelley Pingree, and Angus King. They're all progressives, and they have no respect for your rights or mine.
Yeah, you know, I completely agree with you on that. You know, a lot of people think that Demi is a long shot here, and she may be, according to conventional political wisdom. But there are several polls that show Angus King at 43 to 45% in the polls. At that level with ranked choice voting, if people were to be aggressive here and rank, something good could happen here. Angus shouldn't be there. He's 80 years old. And I don't know how Maine's better off because of the 8 years he spent as governor and 12 years he spent as the United States Senator. He's voted for every spending bill in the United States Senate since he went into office. We were $16.7 trillion in debt when he took office. We are now $35 trillion. He is part of the problem. If we want things to change, we're going to have to change the people because their rigid ideology will not change.
Isn't it obvious? And this guy, King... Excuse me, he wants to get rid of the filibuster for one reason and one reason only, to spend, spend, spend. And America's greatest threat right now is all of this stupid spending. It's destroying our economy and it's destroying our people. We've got to unite to preserve, protect, and defend our constitutional liberties because the progressive Democrat, Golden, Pingree, and King will steal it from us.
Yeah, it's... You know, you're absolutely right about that, and that's what they've been doing. They've been stealing the future of our children, which is why they're leaving the state, because of rigid ideology in the educational system, which has driven it to 50th and dead last in America. The economic opportunities are gone. The taxes are too high. The infrastructure is 50th and dead last. The business climate is 47th in the country. But the point here is that all of these problems focus on one thing. Public policy. And if the public policies were to change in the state of Maine, we could become one of the most prosperous states in the nation. We have an abundance of resources. We have hardworking people, but we have a government that is unworthy of our people.
Well, I sent money to Demi because I believe she can win. And I respect her because she has truth on her side.
Yes.
Angus King doesn't. He's got a good smile, but that's the only thing.
Yeah.
Send the Virginian packing. Send them all packing. Throw the bums out. Look what they've done to our state. Look what they've done to our country.
Yeah, we need to throw them out. I agree.
Any longer.
I agree. Hey, appreciate your phone call. Thank you very much. It is 9:53. You're on the LynnLibby.com listener line. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Ray. You know, I watched Jake Tapper. He had Mike, the Speaker of the House, on the other day, and they were talking about Arnold Palmer and what a nasty guy. All that stuff is nasty. And I thought to myself, this is the party that has men showering with women, boys and girls taken away from their parents at 8, 9 years old, and they're offended by a locker room joke.
I know. It was just so I saw the same clip with Tapper, and I was thinking to myself, so you're an advocate for boys transitioning to girls. You're an advocate for biological boys playing girls' sports, being in girls' bathrooms and girls' locker rooms. But you're offended because Donald Trump made a veiled reference to the manhood of Arnold Palmer. Give me a break.
You can't make it up.
But these are all fake, phony people. They all you have to pretty much be to be in TV news, to be a fraud, because that's all they are.
You know, Ray, your guest there, I heard a while back that every penny a year that gas goes up is $1 billion out of the economy. And I thought to myself, how many billions has this administration taken out of this economy for the American people?
Well, let's face it. Here in the state of Maine, our taxes are fourth highest in the country tax burden-wise. They will be second highest in the country with the new tax increase Janet Mills signed into law after promising twice she would not raise taxes. When the government takes too much money out of the economy with taxation, businesses can't compete with the government. They have to compete with the government for capital. And when the government is doing this, business always loses, which means the people that work at those businesses also lose. But they don't think about that.
But their energy policies are acting, the caller's exactly right, are acting as a de facto tax.
Yeah, of course. Of course they are. Well, what is a solar subsidy that's on my electricity bill? That's a tax to pay for solar subsidy.
Absolutely.
They could call it whatever they want to call it. They could call it, you know, Chinese medicine if they want to. But at the end of the day, they're taking money out of my pocket and your pocket and every other Mainer's pocket for their rigid ideology, for an idea that has failed the state.
Oh, it has. It's absolutely wrong. I mean, natural gas is, according to again, the DOE, is this winter is going to be 75% cheaper to heat your home with natural gas than it will be for electricity. But for so many, it's, and in Maine in particular, they're not going to have the option because this government wants to restrict it.
It's you know what amazes me, Ray? They've got this John Kerry flying all over the place. His wife does Heinz ketchup plastic bottles and the little plastic ketchup packs that get into the sewer and into the ocean all over the place. I'd like to know what the Heinz ketchup carbon footprint is in this world that John Kerry's telling all of us little peons. Hey, you behave yourself while I go fly around and eat my filet mignon and my drink my wine. What a fraud! The hypocrisy in this country is sick to the core.
Well, and John Kerry, what else was he doing? He was just in a forum talking about we have to restrict the ability of people to say what they want to say. We've got to restrict misinformation. He said we must win this election so we can control information. Why would any free person want their information controlled? Kamala Harris said the same thing. Hillary Clinton said the same thing. Joe Biden said the same thing. Tim Walz said the same thing. Who the hell are they to be the arbiters of misinformation? All these people have done with their adult lives is lie to the public. That's all they've done. They lie because that's what elected people and people who want to be elected, that's what they do. They lie, they lie, they lie. Who are they to be the arbiters of what's true or what is not? And the answer is they are not. They're untrustworthy.
I love you guys. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Appreciate the call.
Thanks,
Matt,
for calling.
We have got to run. This was fun.
You know what? I am due back on Election Day.
Yes,
so
you are.
That could be fun.
Yeah, that could be a lot of fun.
That could be fun.
And election night, we're going to have the party at the Regency.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate this great country that night. We got to go. Matt, good to see you.
Thanks so much.
We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Hi, folks. My name is Scott Ducharme, and I'm running for Maine State Senate District 34 for Kennebunkport, Wells, Berwick, and North Berwick. I believe Mainers need economic relief now, and I'm ready to deliver.